from Headstuff Studios in Dublin. Welcome to Motherfuck Lore, a podcast about words, Irish words, and words from Ireland. I'm Dara Gaucher. Eimear Duffy's here after a several episode absence.
Fight me.
Welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be back.
Excellent. And we are delighted to be joined today by the creators of Oh My God, What a Complete Aisling, Eimear McLeisite and Sarah Breen.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
I'm a little bit awestruck, I'm not going to lie.
And us. It's great to meet you, Eimear.
We have two Eimears here. How are we going to distinguish between the two?
How are we going to distinguish between the two Eimears? Father and no father?
I and no I. She's E-I-M-E-A-R. I'm E-M-E-R. But which of us is speaking right now?
You'll never know.
I was reading recently, and from some of our old Irish crew, that Eimear was originally, when the name was kind of was rediscovered by Conor Gaelic or the Gaelic League in the 19th century, was actually, it should have been pronounced Ever. But
Ever, yeah, because you've got the M there, which, like the original spelling, the Eimear that was the wife of Cú Chulainn, that was spelled E-M-E-R, which is now seen as more of the anglicised version.
I'm surprised that name hasn't had a resurgence because it's very nice. I'm surprised, you know, it's not on those top 10 baby names lists.
Yeah, it's lovely, but that M was always pronounced as like a V sound, which is a big thing in all Irish, but that's grammar rules that
imagine
we're not
I started
get
calling
into.
Myself Ever. Like, it's actually Classic. Ever. Thank you.
It's no, got a ring to it, Ever McLeisite.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Swell.
I see you, like, practicing some weird form of yoga that no one's ever heard of, and
that's
drinking,
ever
drinking funny tea, and
I've changed my mind. I'll just stay eating.
Playing obscure instruments in your spare time,
and liking stuff before is cool.
It's very Leave from Across the Road, actually.
Yeah, yes. It is very. Yeah, that's what's coming to mind there.
So, Oh My God, What a Complete Aisling, for those who aren't familiar with it, started off as a Facebook group. But you want to tell me, I'm sure you've told the story so many times in the media run for the book, but I'm going to ask you to tell it one more time.
So Sarah and I went to college together in Ballyfermot. We lived together in various apartments over the years. We don't anymore. Sarah's married. And we don't live together anymore. But
that'd
we did.
That'd be a great sitcom.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Oh my God. Imagine we went back together.
Amazing.
Live together. Yeah, film it. Go for it.
So much book potential. Sarah and I lived together. And about 10 years ago, we don't have the dates exactly right. We came up with this character one hungover Saturday sitting around under blankets, probably thinking about drinking more wine. And it was kind of like, do you know those girls you see? And we started listing the characteristics of this particular type of girl that we'd seen kind of, you know, walking to work or in college or in wherever we were. And it was like the type of girl who walks really fast, like really purposefully into work, carrying her shoes in a Baron Thomas bag and wearing her runners and just all these different characteristics. And we eventually came up with a name for her, and it was Aisling.
And then we continue to project even more and more detailed things onto her. Like Aisling goes to those colours nights in the Portobello. I'm not sure if they even still exist.
I think I looked it up there recently. I don't think they do still exist. So a colours night was you would wear your county colours, your county jersey, and go and presumably score someone wearing the same jersey, or maybe a fierce rival. I don't know.
There's still a thing in Maynooth.
Oh, okay.
Every kind of Freshers' Week and stuff, you'll always see like the different pubs around the place, and it's like county colours night, and then they release all like the club photos the next week, and literally no one's wearing their county jersey.
Oh,
everyone's just wearing good tops.
Yeah, well, Aisling would have
been. Yeah, Aisling would have been a huge fan of those, because she's mad into GA and wearing bootcut jeans and sensible shoes and kitten heels and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but she's lovely. She's a lovely person.
She's lovely.
Like it sounds like we're taking the piss, but like she's just a kind. It was a kind of an Irish stereotype. And we made the Facebook group mostly just to share what we called Aislingisms with our friends. And there was no WhatsApp groups or anything like that back in those days, so we just didn't want to lose all these funny little things we were coming up with. So it was like, let's create a private, I think it was a private group with our friends, and it grew from like 5 people to 10 people, and then suddenly it was people we didn't know were asking to be
I remember the first
members.
Day somebody joined, and you know, we could always trace the person back. It's like, oh, that one works with somebody I know, but somebody joined that we didn't know, and we were like, oh, it's kind of spiraling out of our hands now. And then I remember you were in a pub, then it started to grow and grow and grow, and you know, this was 10 years ago, it's not an overnight success, so it grew very organically. And you were in a pub once and you overheard people referring to somebody as an Aisling.
Yeah, strangers. They refer, oh my God, she's such an Aisling. And I was like, oh my God, it's out, it's in the world. And we couldn't believe, but it was still, when the group is probably still quite small. When it was a smaller group, it used to be very, very kind of focused and concentrated on what an Aisling is. Because it's now, I think, nearly 50,000 members, it's become a very different thing. It's still the kind of nice community, but it used to be just every post would start with Aisling would never, or Aisling is firmly Team Jen. So it was back in the you know, Jennifer Aniston versus Angelina Jolie days, and she would be firmly Team Jen.
That's almost pop culture archaeology now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Big time.
If we
my
look back.
Kind of archaeology.
The only kind as far as
actually, when we were writing the book, we went back to look at some of the very early posts, and a lot of them were about like SSIAs and very old phones. So I think it was pre-smartphones. So it would have been all like Nokias and whatever. Nobody was taking pictures.
No. And Aisling was very reluctant to give up her Nokia, like eventually. She never moved on to a flip phone like, you know, her friend Magella would have.
Yeah. That was the Aisling in me. I was very reluctant to move on to a smartphone. I just didn't trust them.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, what was I doing? What was I doing?
It's safety and comfort, you know, in your Nokia.
I think one of the things in the group, and obviously in the book as well, is there's a lot of humor recognition. And say, sometimes if you're watching, if I'm watching something like Peep Show or The Inbetweeners or The Office, and there's these moments, you get this utter cringe when you realize they're doing something that I do. And also you think that's a bit awfully, a bit like me, and everyone's laughing at this person, you get this cringe. Whereas the moments of recognition in Aisling are almost comforting. Yeah, me too. It's almost like an arm over your shoulder instead of a finger pointing at you.
Yeah, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, so many people have pointed out that there's a real genuine warmth to the book. And because a lot of the stuff in the book is very much shared experiences that we've experienced and, you know, our friends. And there's no shame in it, you know. There's no shame in never missing a hotel breakfast. I mean, you'd be mad to miss a hotel breakfast.
I love when somebody comes to me and they're like, it wasn't what I was expecting, when they talk about the book. And they're like, I thought it was just kind of be like, you know, a few jokes or just kind of taking the piss or whatever. And it's really, really not. They're like, oh, I love her and she's me and she's my sister and she's my friend. And yeah, so it's been really nice.
The glasses for juice in hotel breakfast are ridiculously small.
Yeah,
they're so small. It's just, I mean, you just have to go up again and again and again. It doesn't curtail your juice drinking.
No, you're just going to go. I have no shame. I'll get three. You can carry three.
I'll get a tray if I can.
Yeah.
I do stop at actually taking panel chocolates out with me. I wouldn't do that. That's maybe my line.
I did that for the first time a few weeks ago. I always drew the line at like wrapping a tiny pan of chocolate in a napkin and putting it in my bag. But I was in Norway with my mother. And I was with my mother, who is a bad influence when it comes to stealing hotel breakfast items. She is the queen of it. And B, Norway's really expensive. Yes. So she was there squirreling away. And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to do it too.
When in Rome.
And we were so smug, taking out our little tiny croissants.
Yeah, like I work in hotels and I kind of have unlimited access to hotel breakfast.
Tell us.
Wow, what are the secrets?
And still I'm kind of like, oh, I'm going to rob that croissant.
Is it frowned upon for people to bring them upstairs, you know, / into your handbag to bring home? Do they know, do you people know what happens?
Well, I mean, yeah, you're going to, you know... It's definitely a thing. Yeah. I mean, I'm not in the food and beverage sector, nor am I in the housekeeping sector. So it's never really my department, should we say. But I'm like, you know what? You steal that breakfast.
Yeah.
Your room rate is high enough.
Yeah.
I'm charging you enough. Go do that.
You do you, girl.
Go back and get another one.
I think my rationale when I was stealing, no, I'd paid for it. Yeah. When I was taking the breakfast. In Oslo was that they were just going to throw it out anyway. Look at all that food. It's only going to get thrown out.
And
they go into
stale.
My handbag. Yeah.
It's only going to go into the staff canteen for the poor staff that are slaving away in the industry.
Now.
And next thing, all they want to do is go down to the canteen and get a nice croissant.
A nice old croissant.
Yeah, next thing. Someone who thinks that they're...
Entitled,
because they pay for it apparently, has robbed all the croissants.
You haven't shamed me, I'm not ashamed.
One thing though is, I think, the scrambled eggs and the breakfast,
they tend to be very dry.
I do ask for an egg and always think, here's this prick asking for his own poached egg. But I pay for my breakfast. I'm paying like, what was it, 17 euros for a hotel breakfast recently.
Wow.
What?
I swear. Yeah.
This is it was a 40th birthday. I get away to
the cheek of them.
Of all places.
Yeah.
We're charging 17 quid for a full Irish.
If I'm paying 17 quid, I'm going to the omelette station. I'm going to the pancake machine.
And was it 17 euro for a...
I was thinking...
Like, was it served to you or was it a buffet?
Initially, the breakfast...
Were the plates
we
gold?
Have gone way off. Kilter here.
Initially, like I said, oh, breakfast is included. I'm sure it's grand. And like, what the bleck? And yeah, so that was one morning. We thought, okay, that's what it is. I'm going to ask for a poached egg. And a poached egg was pure salad in the middle.
17 euro.
Disappointing.
I don't like runny eggs. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I do.
I think there's a line. I think you don't want it too runny. You want to get it just right.
I think if I'm eating scrambled eggs, I want to have seen them being made. Mm-hmm. I just don't really. And there's often a distressing watery liquid.
You don't want
hanging
that
around the bottom. No,
and butter upsets you, so yeah, you don't yeah want to have butter. No,
I want to know how much butter was put in.
You never know how much butter is in. Yeah. And also, scrambled eggs, ever put Worcester sauce in them?
No.
Oh yeah, try it. Oh. Try it next time.
No.
Right. So the Facebook group, that's right. Okay.
So the at what point did you think that this could? Because obviously within the Facebook group, people were individually adding their own kind of takes on their own versions of Aisling, their own versions of a knee from across the road, their own versions of a mama. And at what point do you think, yes, we can actually do something, a canonical book based on these characters?
No spoilers.
Well, we had a TV show in development back in 2010.
Oh.
Somebody had approached us about doing it, and it was very much his baby, and we were sort of consultants on it.
Mm.
And it was greenlit by RTE, but then something happens, which is apparently very common in this industry, and the funding fell through or somebody left or whatever, so it never really happened. So there was always an idea that we could do something with it. But you know, we're both very busy individually working and all the rest of it, and it wasn't until Gill Books approached us then last summer and they said, would you put something on paper? Then we were like, okay, yes, now is the time.
And it's funny you're talking about people putting their various spins on the characters, like something that was very important to us, that we would only use characters that we had created, which actually is a very small pool. So Sarah and I created the original characters. So there was like Aisling, her brother Paul, her friend Magella.
The parents,
and like not many more beyond that. So the book itself has those core characters and then a lot of new characters.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of cameos, very brief, from a couple of other characters that are in the Facebook group, but mostly it's our own original material.
So that was just sort of a nod to the group more than anything. And when the book came out, some people were like, oh, why isn't this person in it or that person? We're like, well, that's not our content. We're not going to steal somebody else's creations.
Yes.
But people do, you know, have free rein in the group. They write their own little kind of fanfic. And Emer, you were saying that you really enjoyed some of the posts recently.
Yeah, there was a whole like dating drama going on around like eternally single Sive, and it was good content. I was like on the bus home every day and I'm like trying to scroll through the Facebook group being like, where is it? I need to read it. I need it now.
So it has. It's funny because it has prompted people to do their own storytelling. And one of the prominent members in the group is Aidan Comerford. And he got a book deal on the strength of one post that he had posted about his own family within the group. And that book is doing really well at the moment now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good so light. It's nice to foster that kind of community and that kind of storytelling.
Shout out to Aid if you're listening.
Aiden.
And what I love is that there's in the book, obviously, there's, you have in the group, you've got a lot of this humor generated by people. You also have a lot of reassurance and warmth from other people. And I think the two combine each other very well in a nice way, that it's actually, there's so much bad going on social media with people, you know, creeping out and saying, well, actually, and people being even meaner than that.
A lot of Nazis out there.
Yes, and also the Nazis. I wasn't even going
to... Just punch them in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, actual Nazis, grammar Nazis, in between
punch
Nazis.
Punch them all.
Yeah.
And it's, I suppose for me, like I've written a book based on social media and you guys have this as well. And what's your views on this, the actual current state of social media? And do you think it's been the Aisling thing has been a good presence? And do you think other people are learning from it?
I think it has. Well, people have told us that they feel like Aisling was like a warm, bright light that they needed in their lives in this terrible time. And I think they mean kind of just the book and the character in general, maybe not necessarily. But our Facebook group, people do say that it helps them a lot, and they kind of go there for escapism and they can share their funny stories or their sad stories or whatever. So we would like to think that it has been a force for good. Twitter, Aisling isn't really on Twitter. Aisling herself wouldn't really get it.
No,
not for her.
But we administrate the Facebook page ourselves, just the two of us, and we're pretty strict about the content that goes up there.
Yeah.
At the moment, at the rate the group is growing, it's growing exponentially. It's really hard to keep up with it. So we've stopped admitting new members just because we were losing the tone a little bit, and we wanted to remain that kind of really cozy, comforting space. So at the moment, we're, you know, doing a lot of deleting things that are off topic, and we're just trying to keep it, you know, as a community that it became itself. Because I think that's what people need at the moment.
Yeah, if it turns into just another timeline, people will just leave and they won't get anything from it.
Yeah.
And the book, to be fair, has taken on a life of its own outside of the group. Like an awful lot of people who have read it weren't even on Facebook.
Yeah.
But the Facebook group is still very important to us. That's where it all started.
But like that, it's a Facebook group that you dip in and out of as well. Like I said, if I'm going home on the bus in the evening and you're stuck in traffic for 1,007,000 hours and you're just like, you're on Facebook, you're scrolling anyway, you're like, oh look, there's a post in the group, might as well click into it and have a bit of a read down and see who's saying what and what are you going to get a laugh out of, what's probably going to make you cry a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm really looking forward to Christmas. Christmas in the Oh My God, What a Complete Lashing Facebook group is always great because it's just hordes of, well, it's toy show thread, but then it's just hordes of people going down home.
Mm-hmm.
And like you get the just the best Aisling-isms and the best stories about what the mammies and the grannies and the daddies are up to.
And it's also authentic because people can post in real time. They can post like pictures of stuff that's happening at home, and it's that shared experience again. It's so warm.
It's great.
I remember last year, kind of, it was Christmas. It was Christmas Day and kind of Christmas Eve. We were busy, we must have been doing something, and a bit of a lazy person anyway, and I was kind of like, oh, I should probably wash my hair. And then I was like, no, I don't want to wash my hair. I'm not ready to wash my hair, let's be real. And it came to kind of Christmas morning, and of course, even though we only live like 10 minutes from the church, the mother obviously had to leave a half an hour before Mass.
Oh, to get the parking and whatnot.
Exactly. And next thing I was kind of like, oh, I kind of should have washed my hair yesterday. Oh, no. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, I really should have done that. And of course, you know, whip out a bottle of dry shampoo. And there I am working my magic. And of course, the mother's standing there and she's nearly checking her watch and tapping her foot off the ground, being like, Emer, get out of the house. Come on, we'll be late. What will they think of us? And of course, then I had a little post in the group where my hair was just like covered in dry shampoo. And I'm sitting in the car and I'm like, all right, lads.
Christmas Day Mass.
So the mother, right? And it was just a little post, but next thing it blew up a little bit. Next thing, like, you're getting texts from people that you're like, you're friends with or everything else. And they're like, Emer, that's really funny. Or like, that's really made me laugh this morning or stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad my misery has made you. Thanks.
A problem shared.
Yeah. Now I look ridiculous going into Mass.
Fun, no, Maid Macara. We'll be right back after this message.
Hello, my name is Alison Spittle. I'm a podcaster, yeah. That's the one. We got it? Hi, my name is, hello. I don't know why I'm sounding American. Hi, I'm Alison Spittle. This is my actual accent. I present the Alison Spittle Show. You can hear that every Wednesday on the... not every Wednesday. Don't be too keen. You can hear that every second Wednesday on the Headstuff Podcast Network, which you can hear on headstuff.org. Thank you.
Two of the recurring themes, I think, in the group and in the book as well, there's the concept of being from outside Dublin, and I guess and arriving in Dublin and those kinds of things, and also the concept of notions. And there's a few Irish words for notions.
Oh, there'd have to be, wouldn't there?
What's particularly interesting is obviously is the name Aisling. In the greater scheme of Irish names, it's relatively recent. I think a lot of people have an aunt called Aisling, or maybe even a mother, but not many people have a grandmother called Aisling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Aislingach means dreamy or romantic or chaotic.
Oh.
Yeah. And obviously that's a very notion-y sort of a word.
That's a really notion-y word.
And because obviously Aisling means vision and a dream.
Mm. Yeah.
And Aisling poetry was a genre of Irish poetry. Maybe you know more about that than I do.
It was a very kind of like vision literature. So obviously you're getting a lot of early Irish texts and someone would like fall asleep or whatever else. And next thing they're having a vision of an other world or like otherworldly journeys and everything else. And, you know, you've got a lot of like debate over like Christian influence or this whatever the hell pagan influence is, God only knows. And so it's a big genre of literature that suddenly just become a first name.
Yeah. And I suppose because typically in an Aisling poem, there'd be someone would drift off and then he'd see the beautiful woman would be like, you know, fight the king or something. Yeah. Or other things. But the idea is that it became someone has a daughter, she's beautiful, like something you see in a dream. She's Aisling. We kind of call that.
A lot of people have asked us about why we chose the name Aisling and that kind of thing. And it was just an Irish name, like a well-known Irish girl's name. It could have been, I think we did originally think about calling her Magella, but that was almost a bit too unusual.
Yeah, we wanted to be Irish. And we also had mentioned that Aisling is very proud that her name means vision in Irish.
Yeah.
And she really hates that when it's anglicised, when people spell A-S-H.
Yeah, she
and
hates
it's the same
that.
As anybody hates when their name is spelled wrong. But, you know, that's just, that really taps into Aisling's personality.
That's a real Aislingism,
somebody when they spell her name wrong.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, when I was doing my research, one of the words for backtalking or, you know, giving sass, clapback is ashfragra.
Oh, yeah. Ashfragra. I love that.
Ashfragra. So I thought it was just a wonderful coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or unless you planned it all along.
Yes, we
sure.
Did.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
And there's another word for notions in Irish is fuad or ard.
Ooh.
Yeah, head up high. Or ard gown means head, like you having your head a bit too high.
Actually, the town that Aisling is from in the book is Ballygobar. It was always called BGB in the group, which is Ballygo Backwards. But we didn't want it to call, because the novel is a proper, fully rounded story, we couldn't call the town Ballygo Backwards.
Yeah.
And it was actually Darragh who came up with the idea of calling it Ballygobard, which means...
Ballygobard.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of a high beak town.
Yeah, so it fit in with the BGB... kind of letters, but it also kind of meant something, so
yeah.
That's an added little bonus.
Yeah, we didn't just pull it out of the air.
No, thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. I'd just be delighted. And I've been in the group since about 2013, and yeah,
so you've seen it grow.
Yeah, I was just thinking when I was added into the group, I think there was only something like 9,000 members, if even.
Yeah.
And next thing now, like, it's like 50,000 or something.
Yeah, there's an awful lot now.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The book is really, and the fact that we've done so much media around the book, you know, we've been on TV and radio and everyone has heard of it at this stage. And I think that we did a guest lecture in our alma mater last week, Ballyfermot College of Further Education.
Excellent.
Shout out. And the guy said that, because it's a closed group at the moment, and I wasn't sure how you would find it if it comes up in searches, but he said if you just put in the letter O into Facebook, it's the first thing that
first thing that
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh my god, indeed.
Yeah.
And the Irish for "Oh my god, we complete Aisling" is "Oh my ear, not Aisling Kiart E."
Love it. Love it. Aisling would love that. And it's not too hard either.
No.
It's not too hard. It rolls right off.
Yeah.
And
she's very, very proud of her B3 at Honours Irish.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. I feel personally victimised right now. It's like, I came here to have a good time. And I'm honestly feeling so attacked right now.
I'm really enjoying reading the book, and it's not like the book, some of the books I typically read, but one of the things I was thinking of was that when people talk about, say, like Booker Prize winning, kind of award winning kind of literary fiction books that are maybe phone book size or more, with a lot of famines and stuff going on in them, there's maybe sometimes they look down on popular fiction aimed at a larger audience. And what I really noticed was during, say, the Celtic Tiger era, there wasn't really a book about the Celtic Tiger or about what was going on, whereas popular fiction was addressing issues going around much better than so-called literary fiction was obsessed in the past. When Colm Tobin wrote Brooklyn, somebody pointed out very fairly that he was getting a lot of praise for writing about things that Maeve Binchy had been writing about for a long time. And it was a lot like a Maeve Binchy book, but he was getting an awful lot of credit for it. And I was a huge fan of Maeve Binchy's journalism. Actually, I had the great pleasure of meeting her once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Fantastic. Absolutely starstruck. But I think in your book, you're dealing with a lot of social issues in a really good way, in a way that maybe I wasn't exactly expecting, but was very striking.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it all happened kind of fairly organically. We didn't sit down and go, right, well, this definitely has to happen. It was more, we have been given a book deal. We haven't written the book. We have to write 80,000 words. We'll write about what we know or what's going on in Ireland in 2017. And that's why some of the themes and issues came up. And there are some of the things that people have, I think, found the most touching or the most, I don't know, striking in the book, which is great.
And from the get-go, we wanted Aisling to be a character that everyone would fall in love with. And I think a lot of people underestimate Aisling sometimes, you know, and they have an idea of how she might react to certain subjects or certain people. And we wanted to make her really well-rounded and give her the opportunity to kind of grow and to think herself and sort of examine how she feels about certain things. I think that's what people have enjoyed about it as well.
Yeah. And the parent characters in the book, the mommy and daddy characters, it was important for those to be very well-rounded because we think they get a short shrift sometimes.
Yeah.
Just in general Irish culture. So we wanted particularly Mammy to have a really nice backstory and that she was a fully formed person, not just a mammy in a kitchen.
And you mentioned that Aisling's B3 in Irish, Honours Irish. I have to ask you both. I like to ask all our guests what their favourite and least favourite Irish words are, if they have them.
I found it difficult to whittle I have a top three favourite. Am I allowed three?
Yeah.
I think my number one is Ryark, which means view. I've always loved it. I love saying it. I love how it's spelt. I love how it's not spelled the way it's said. I just love it. I also love Fulu Slantor, which is the Irish word for Hoover, or one of the Irish words for Hoover, because I learned that when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I don't know where it came up. Someone just said it to me and it always stuck in my head. And I used to like wheel it out in Irish classes and people would be really impressed. So it's always been a favourite. And then my third is Ishbeanie.
Ishbeanie. I love Ishbeanie.
Bringing it right back to the hotel breakfast again.
Absolutely.
It's such a great word, Ishbeanie.
It is. It's got a great sound to it and much better than sausage even. And do you have favourites?
I do. My favourite Irish word, well, it's actually two words. It's Seomra Cuddleta, which is the Irish for bedroom. I think it sounds like the cosiest, most snuggliest word in the Irish language.
Absolutely, Cuddleta. Yeah. Could you not? And on the other side of the spectrum, do either of you have a least favourite Irish word?
This is kind of tricky. I really hate a lot of the like newer translations, which are just Irish words with fathers that sound like English words. Mm-hmm. And one I came across not so long ago was the Irish for coleslaw, which is coleslaw.
Oh, wow.
Coleslaw anyway. I hate the English word coleslaw. I hate coleslaw itself. Mm-hmm. So
I object to this.
Sarah loves coleslaw.
Coleslaw is delicious and it glamorizes any meal. Put
it's
it on the side of any
ever.
Meal.
Okay, Ashley.
Sorry.
I'm horrified.
I remember when when I was, sometimes I'd be outside, maybe in the country, and I'd be getting stopping for some lunch, and I'd like this. I just thought that coleslaw was some sort of decoration or something they had to have on a plate to cover any empty space. I didn't realize you actually ate it.
Yeah.
Oh, in the country, it is served on the side of everything.
You couldn't have a lasagna now without a coleslaw on the side. Oh,
no.
Yeah. I hate it. Like, I hate it. But
I love it. When I go down to Carlow, it's like coleslaw left, right, and centre for me.
No. Mm-mm. No.
We were talking about coleslaw recently with somebody and Sarah comically pulled a tub of coleslaw out of her handbag.
It was, we were doing another podcast with Roisin Ingle and we were outside a pub having a drink and the subject turned to coleslaw and I was reaching into my handbag for my wallet and I had forgotten.
A likely story.
Hand just landed on the coleslaw.
In Tesco earlier that day and then suddenly a tub of coleslaw in my hand, mortified.
I think they could possibly come up with a better word for coleslaw.
Yeah, I think so.
It doesn't do it justice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coleslaw.
So something that reflects the fact that it's a big part of Irish life in parts of Ireland.
I think there's a sign so in some Irish supermarkets that sometimes they have Irish versions of their food aisle signs. And there's a sign, it's possibly in a Tesco, coleslaw agus dipini. Coleslaw and dips.
that sounds like me at the Gaeltacht, like back in the day, like just literally making up words.
Dipini has a term.
Yeah, that's like Ishbeanie.
Anything that ends in eenie, I think it's very cute.
How do you have a least favourite?
Not really. I was going to choose, for the same reason, I was going to choose like taxi. It just sounds like some...
Toxy.
Yeah.
Toxy's pretty poor.
Yeah, it's poor. A few extra letters.
Yeah, and a fada like me at the Gaeltacht again.
And your book, Oh My God, Wickedly Ashley, has been nominated for a Bord Gáis Irish Book Award in the newcomer category.
Yes, we're very excited.
Yes, thrilled, cannot wait to go.
How can people vote for your book?
You can go online to the Irish Book Awards website.
Yes, and if you vote for our book and lots of other books, including yours, Derek, you might win a 100 euro book token.
You can get a lot of books with a 100 euro book token.
Sure can.
So, Motherfuckler, Dispatches from Not So Dead Language is nominated in the Ireland AM Popular Nonfiction category. If you want to vote for that, please also vote for Oh My God, With Complete Ashling in the Newcomers category.
Thank you.
Yay!
Woo!
Books are brilliant.
Lower.
Daddy no
Lower.
Daddy no not like. Just using all my Irish.
Let's do that again. Let's dart line that one. Books.
Lower.
Room.
Seomra.
Bedroom.
Seomra Cuddleta.
Dips.
Dipini. No, my favourite thing ever was, I'm not sure who tweeted it, but someone said, like with the new 280 characters on Twitter, that we should do like Irish signposts and have like your English tweet at the top and then translate it in the extra 140 characters.
I know who tweeted that. It was a friend of mine, Amanda Colleen. Yes, and I thought, you should definitely do that.
Oh, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, obligatory translation at the end.
That'll be amazing.
Absolutely.
Bray.
Bray.
It's more like when it's with Greystones, like Greystones is a
cluchalia. Oh, that's very snazzy.
Very guttural.
Ian and Sarah, I want to thank you both so much for coming on today and Greystones for your presence. Thank you so much for giving the world the Facebook group and this wonderful book. And I wish you all the best in the awards.
Our pleasure, thank you.
And thank you so much for going back, Eimear Duffy. And since she's last been on the show, she has graduated with a master's from Maynooth and we are all extremely proud.
Wow.
Yay. Go Eimear.
Fierce fancy.
Humble brag.
So it's a salon from me.
And me.
And me.
And a salon from me.
Hey, Derek again. First of all, I want to thank my amazing guests today, Emer and Sarah. Very grateful they were able to share their time with us today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do rate and review us on iTunes or wherever else you do get your podcasts. It means a lot and it's a great way for other people to find the show. If you have any suggestions or tips or corrections for the show, you can email us at motherfucklore@headstuff.org or you can contact the Twitter account @motherfucklore. Thank you very much to Brian for producing today's episode and to Kirsten Scheel for doing the artwork. If you're looking for another podcast to get into, the Headstuff Podcast Network has a range of shows. Particularly this time of year, may I recommend a Christmas special podcast called Roast Chestnuts, brought to you by Al McGuire and Gene Sutton. Next episode, we are delighted to bring you Claire Cullen, the Queen of Irish YouTube. Motherfucklore is out every Friday on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Look forward to seeing you then. Slán.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Is it okay if I share my blog? No.
No,
it's not.